The following original talk show is rated NU. No usury abuses tolerated. Some content may be offensive to term life insurance plan owners. Chestertonian discretion is advised.
Flat, broken, busted.
If David Simpson had been Jerry Maguire and showed Leon the true money, it would have hit him over the head like the proverbial ton of bricks. Gold bricks, that is. Let David Simpson show you the true money every Wednesday at noon Central, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
You know something, Mr. David?
Lay it on me, brother.
When the deep voice announcer guy says gold brick.
Yes.
That's my favorite Easter candy. From Elmer's. The gold brick egg. If anybody...
You ever chew on the aluminum, though? You ever get the aluminum in your teeth? It hurts. If you chew
the wrapper?
Yeah, if you actually get the wrapper by accident, like still stuck to the chocolate.
I know what you're talking about, yes.
Oh, man, it's like biting on an electric line or something.
Yep. And if anybody lives in Louisiana listening, they can attest to the gold brick egg.
Yeah.
Heavenly hash. And the pecan egg.
By the way, everyone, I need to wish a very happy birthday to young Christopher. Birthday was yesterday. I will not say his age. He's getting older, though. He's still young, Christopher, because he's...
This will be my last year of my young Christopher.
He's not quite half my age, but close. Very close. All right. You know what? There's Keb Mo and his... bluesy band coming in on the True Money Show, the Crusade Channel. Now you see, this blues actually makes me a little blue, but I am David Simpson, your host, this day on April the 7th from 11 to 1 o'clock. But I am not the only show on the network, as you well know. At 1 o'clock. Suzanne Option will be coming on, so don't touch that icon. You've been you like the True Money Show, you like the Mike Church Show, you like the Mark Crescent Show, you like the My Story of America, you like the Constitutionary, you'll like Suzanne's show. We have top-notch quality programming on the Crusade Channel. Don't touch that icon. Stick around and hear all the shows. That's 1 o'clock today with Suzanne Option. She'll help you get ready for all weathers. She likes to prepare. She believes in the motto, be prepared. Also, I want to apologize to Hay. He called in with a question for Joel. And, you can still stay on the phone, Hay, and ask me the question. I probably would not have answered as well as Joel. But, hey, you know, I'm a poor substitute. I could substitute. If you want to call back, Hay, it's fine.
Hay is going to go the route of more detailed. He's going to send you an email.
Oh, very good. Very nice. So, I do apologize. We had a caller for Joel. We were running out of time that segment. I had to move on. But thanks for calling in. So... let me give you a quick little taste of what we've been doing here today on the True Money Show. I've asked the financial question of the day, do you love your job? And if you do not, which I think Joel said 80% of the people have great job dissatisfaction, if you do not love your job, what would you prefer to do? And if you have something you know you'd prefer to do, why aren't you moving there? What's keeping you from moving on? I'll answer that question myself. Those questions myself in just a minute. We've also talked about whether or not it's a waste of money to send your kid to college. We've talked about, we had a great conversation with Joel Salatin about, I was trying to make it, suggestions for the urbanite, how do you transition over? But we got into so many wonderful things so fast, I couldn't ask him my little slew of simple questions. He's a great, great resource for common sense. And that will make more difference in your life than whether or not you're a farmer or an urbanite or anything else. So go check out Joel Salatin's group, polyfacefarms.com. But the reason I'm telling you what all was on the show is because if you missed the show and if you are a member of the Veritas Radio Network, hint, hint, become a member of the network. Then you can go download the show and listen to it at your leisure. Yes, at your leisure, Charlie. So, is that not a reason to be a member? You don't. If you missed my show, you missed Mike. I told Mike this morning's monologue was the best monologue I've heard in a while. He was just on it. Hit it out the park. You want to download Mike's show? Go to the network, download Mike's show. Again, you got to be a member. 23 measly cents a day, and you're a member. You can't beat that, guys. So, now I'm going to call out one more time for you guys to go and be a member of the network. This helps us stay in business and helps us keep producing the shows that you want to hear. Finally, I will add to that, one other help I'm asking is I know we're talking to the same audience, and I know you guys love us, and I know you guys support us, and then we've asked you so many times, and you always come through because you're the best audience in the entire world, and I mean that in all sincerity. So, but do you have a friend? Do you have somebody you can tap on the shoulder and say, hey, you ought to check out this network. They're doing big things in the talk radio world, something that's not been done anywhere else. Live, call in, internet radio with a crusade for the truth. And they're going to try to beat back the lies and propaganda of the leftist liberal media that we all know is killing our country. So you have a friend who needs that message? Turn them on to us. Help us grow our audience one person at a time. We're not looking for millions. We're looking for that dirty dozen, the dirty and committed dozen that'll help out and make a change in the course of our country. So any help you can give marketing for us would be greatly appreciated. Go to our website, crusadechannel.com. Go to veritasradionetwork.com. Go to themikechurchshow.com. Click on the join buttons. Search and shop in our store. Anything of this nature, help support the network, or just send the links of those things to your friends that you think would be interested, and that would be great. All right, let's move on. I said I would talk about 10 smart uses, or maybe not so smart uses, for your tax refund, and let me get into that right now. So this is from Kimberly Langford of Kiplinger Finance. She entitled it 10 smart uses for your tax refund. Now, I don't know if they're all smart or not. I'll kind of go through that as we talk through the article. But let me ask first, what is your tax refund? Think about, I know people who love getting a tax refund, and I get it, you know, big plunk of money, you know, somewhat unexpected, you know, no dedicated use for it. So, hey, it's party time. Got this big old, but what is that money? You know, it didn't just grow in Washington and they just mailed it to you as freshly minted money that they decided to put your name on, right? We call it your tax refund because it's your money. And so the first thing I want to kind of get through our thinking process here is that your tax refund is your money that was hijacked from you by the tax man and kept on a no-interest basis for a full year, and then actually more than a year if it got in January. So up to almost a year and a half, you gave an interest-free loan to the IRS. So this is your money coming back to you. This is your production that was taken from you, and you probably don't want to really get big tax returns back. As a general rule, I say plus or minus $300. You want to owe them or receive back about $300. So you want to adjust your withholding so you're not giving all this money to Uncle Sam for him to use interest-free for a year, up to a year and a half, or a year and 4 months. And then when you do that, take that money, and yeah, don't blow it on a monthly basis. Stash it away, because as I say in this show all the time, your money represents your past production. It is the value that you've given to society that you've been compensated for. And to treat it like it's just nothing, or that you can throw it down a rabbit hole and ignore the loss to you, is really a bad, bad habit to get into. So treat your money as if it was your life. Because it was your past life. It was your past production. Treat it dearly, preciously. You can't go back in time and recreate it. You can't go back in time and reproduce. So let's try to treat it with the dignity it deserves. Not overdo it. We don't want to love money and worship it. But we want to do it in such a way we say, This is the value I produced. I'm gonna cherish this and only use it for those things that I really, really know will improve my life. And then when I'm not using, I'm gonna save it. Okay, let's go through this article. If you have a refund check coming your way, consider using it to bolster your personal balance sheet. The average refund is usually around $3,000. See, that's too much. It's too much. That's a nice chunk of change. Here are 10 good things you could do with the money. If your refund was substantial, consider giving yourself an immediate raise by adjusting your tax withholding. So that was the first thing. I already said that, right? Again, plus or minus a couple hundred bucks would be about right. But if you're getting back $3,000, $5,000, $7,000, something's wrong with your withholding and you need to go adjust it. Number one idea, she says, is paying off debt. Well, I disagree. So this is one of the things I don't say is a good idea. Don't do this unless you learn the principles of saving and capital accumulation. You never want to take your capital. Remember, this is your past production. Chunk it on something just to get it off your neck and then lose that value for the rest of your life. What you've done is you haven't created an intermediate habit of how do I replace that to myself. That's what I call be your own banker. But I would never take capital, which is an appreciating asset, and throw it on a depreciating asset like a vehicle or on a neutral asset like a debt. Boom. Well, that does have a cost, I admit. But I wouldn't put it on a debt without knowing some way to recoup the capital that I lost. So unless you can formulate that habit, I wouldn't recommend using it. I would rather you store the money. I'd rather you just save it. Think about it. If you have $5,000 of debt and you have $5,000 in the bank, do you really have $5,000 worth of debt? No. On a balance sheet, you're even. So it doesn't really matter. But if you don't have the $5,000 because you paid off the debt and then you hit a bump in the road, what are you going to have? Yep, you got it, a new debt. So don't do that. Number two, it's a good idea to keep 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in an emergency fund. So our second idea is to build an emergency fund. Check on that. I would have no problem at all saying take your tax return and make an emergency fund out of it. Number three, you can contribute $5,500 to an IRA. Why? Why would I do this? We just talked about needing an emergency fund, and you're going to say, I'm sticking a retirement fund where you can't use it? That doesn't make any sense. Now, if the argument is that you already have an emergency fund and then you do this, well, maybe to get the small old tax break you're going to get. But I would say no. It depends on a lot of other conditions. Like, do you have ready cash for other things in life? So investing in an IRA might fall on my list, but it wouldn't fall at number three. It might fall at number 23. Number four. Use the extra cash to buy shares in a mutual fund or stock you've been considering. Now, most people listening to my show would probably say, oh, Dave's going to laugh that one off. I mean, no way you're going to go one stock or one mutual fund. That'd be ridiculous. That's stupid. Actually, this is not as bad of advice as you might first expect. What you're doing is you're taking your capital and making it productive for you in a non-tax qualified situation, so it's completely available for your use and for your enjoyment. This would be not, this isn't a whole lot different from investing in a business, but of course $3,000 or $5,000 probably wouldn't get you a business investment. So what you're doing by buying a stock or mutual fund is you're taking the value that the stock and mutual fund markets have, which is allowing you with a low cost to get into business investment. Not really that bad of advice. Number five. I thought this was kind of weird at first, and then I thought, no, this is not such bad advice. Liability insurance or home insurance? Now you go, what? What is she talking about? She says, if someone is hurt in your home or by your car, you could have significant liability and legal expenses. She says you can cover these with just a $200 to $400 purchase of an umbrella policy. Well, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, and let me tell you the other one, home insurance. For about $130, you can add $10,000 to $20,000 in sewage backup coverage, which isn't part of a standard homeowner's policy, or you can consider buying a generator, and she talks about how much a portable generator is worth, and maybe the backup generator, the whole house, is a little bit out of your, you know, a little bit higher than you might have with your tax return. But anyway, let me talk about those two things separately. Liability insurance, I'm kind of iffy on. Well, you know, you're at cross purposes. You know what I hate about liability insurance? All the lawyers in the world are looking for it. So what you get with liability insurance is almost an absolute guarantee of a lawsuit if you're in any type of wreck at all. I know this sounds strange, and I'm not telling you not to have insurance, and of course the law requires us to have certain liability insurances. But it bothers me that liability insurance has become basically the bonanza for the legal industry rather than the protection of the individual who might have an unfortunate liability issue. And so it's just one of these things that kind of is in my craw. It frustrates me. So, you know, spending a few hundred bucks to buy an umbrella policy, like $1 million umbrella policy, is basically saying, hey, lawyers, look over here. Sue me. Please sue me. I want some liability. That's what I don't like about the umbrella policy idea. Now, if you have a lot of assets, you need a lot of protection, maybe it is good advice. But understand that you basically baited the trap for the ambulance chaser. Number five, the home insurance. Yes, using $5,000, let's say, or $3,000 tax return to buy a whole house, not a whole house generator, a portable generator, 6.5 kilowatt generator of, you know, with $1,000 to $1,500. I think you'd be better off getting the diesel one, which maybe will be $3,000 to $4,000. But what does this do? This falls into the intrinsic worth category in my mind, and it qualifies as a very good idea if you've covered other bases, because anything that makes you feel more secure in your home, anything that makes you feel that you can weather more storms, whether they be economic or other, I think is a good peace of mind investment. Now, some smarty is going to call up and say, that's not an investment at all. That's an appreciating asset, just like your car. And you're telling them to waste their money now, Simpson. Well, okay, no, because just like a car has use value, a generator has use value. I would tell them to buy it in a certain specific way, but I qualifiably endorse the idea that it is a good use for a tax return, because it is giving them the peace of mind and gives them the use of something like electricity when they were snowed in. All right, number six. It's always hard to juggle saving for college and retirement. Here's an opportunity to use extra money to contribute to your 529. No, just no. You don't want to buy into these things. We talked about that in the first part of the show. Is college a waste of money? If college is a waste of money, and it very well might be, I mean, I think the arguments are still debatable, but it very well might be, then investing in these college plans is probably an equally useless waste of money. Number seven, you can use the extra money to contribute to a Roth IRA for your child. I wrote by this one just the big question, why? Isn't your child's retirement his own responsibility? Well, I would never. I mean, I just can't imagine why this would be of value. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Future planning is a general concept that I use in my practice. It's so far off the idea that your child needing retirement money that to allocate resources to it just seems to me unnecessary. Number eight, set aside some money for vacation rather than using your credit card and paying interest long after you've returned. Notice the false dichotomy. She thinks the only way to pay for a vacation is to spend your tax return on it or put it on a credit card. But what if you were to do it in a better fashion, like being your own banker, taking your own money, going on vacation, and then paying yourself back like you would of the credit card? Wouldn't that be the smartest way to do it? Well, anyway, aside from my little personal gripes, if you want to have fun with the money, I wouldn't oppose that as your planner. You know why? Because I do think that we get too focused on planning for tomorrow and not focused enough on living for today. Now, there's got to be a balance. We need to be prudent. We ought to save. But this idea that we can never just take money and have fun, it's got to go. So I actually don't have a big problem with that. You want to blow your tax return on a vacation? Have fun. Number nine. You can't do big kitchen remodels or bathroom remodels, she says, but you could pay for some smaller home improvements, replacing some cabinets, maybe doing some bathroom upgrades. She gives a little list here. Again, this is from Kimberly Langford, 10 smart uses for your tax refund from Kiplinger Finance. I don't really have a big problem with this one. You know, again, you're investing in your home. You're making it a place that you enjoy living in more and can be more productive and also more self-sufficient. Don't know if that's the best use of the money, but maybe you could combine that with some uses of upgrades that maybe save money. If you put windows in that actually save on your electric bill, would that be such a bad idea? Because you're going to be getting the money back, in a sense, by cutting your electric bill. That's how I would probably look at it, and that wouldn't be a bad idea. Number 10, she says, if you have your financial basis covered, consider using your refund to make a charitable contribution to help others in need. Now, that, up to that point, I say, absolutely. But this is where she kind of goes wrong to me. You'll feel good, and you'll be rewarded for your good deed when you file your tax return next year. Okay. She ruined it for me there. No, absolutely. You want to give money to charity, by all means. But tithing comes first. It's not after all your other financial bases are covered. It's you give to God and the church first, because he has first claims of the first fruits of our lives. So that's the first point. Second point is, you don't do it to feel good or to get a tax break. You do it to help others and to help the church. Okay? And the last thing is, this is a great use of money, because when you give things away is when you most learn to be detached and to be liberal, meaning you're willing to let go, pay others, and not be so wrapped around the axe. Don't have your things owning you. Well, guys, I hate to say this, but I'm not going to be able to answer my financial question today. You know why? Because I ran out of time here on the True Money Show, but it was a great time today. I hope you enjoyed it. Right after my show, don't touch the icon. You got Suzanne Option coming up at 1 o'clock. I will see you guys next week. This is David Simpson on the True Money Show, the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks.